Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For those of you who have been in adult Bible study over the years, you've known that in the last, probably 2 or 3 years, we've had Bible studies that some of them have involved Abraham. And ever since then, I've become quite fascinated with Abraham. Clearly, he's a major figure in the Old Testament, and the nation as we know it would not exist without him. Now, we know that Abraham was called by God. God says, pack up everything you have. And when we think about that, we often think of Abraham and Sarah just sort of walking off. But he had an entire household. He had servants. He had animals. He had all this. It was just a massive caravan that was moving across the land. And he says, go, and when I tell you to stop, stop. And that's exactly what he does. It sort of sounds like when Jesus calls Matthew, doesn't it? Follow me, he says, and Matthew just gets up and goes. Imagine being a worshiper of the trees or the sky or some other type of pagan god, and Yahweh comes, speaks your name, and your entire life changes in an instant. See, that's the power of God's word. So God makes a covenant then with Abraham. He tells him that he would become a great nation. So as we move through the book of Genesis, then we begin to see that Abraham's life, he has some good days, he has some bad days, some things happen to him that he wishes hadn't. But over the years, Abraham begins to waver about this promise. How does a great nation come from someone, a husband and wife, that are decades past their prime with no children to show for it? Now, Abraham, being human, his human nature is probably thinking that God is way off on this. This is just not going to be. And begins to give up on the idea. And this is where our text for this morning's Old Testament reading begins. It begins with these comforting words from the Lord. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham still thinks that Eliezer is going to be the heir to his family. It's the only way that his family line will live on. So at this point, it's hard to sort of think of Abraham as this great pillar of faith in the Old Testament that we know him to be. But thankfully, God was not finished speaking to him on this day. He takes Abraham aside and says, not Eliezer, but you and your offspring will be like the stars in the sky. See, the creative power of God's word is once again on display here as his spirit-filled words create faith in Abraham. And we know this because the text says that Abraham believed. Now, Abraham has been believing God all along. He believed him when he was called, when he was led, even when God made a covenant with him. So the question is, why is this one different? Why is this text different than the others? Because this one is the promise of a Savior. The one promised to Eve would come through Abraham's line. Believing God's word, faith in the promise of a Savior, God credits righteousness to Abraham by what the coming Savior would one day do. Now, we hear the word righteousness all the time, don't we? Particularly in our society, it's often used in terms of a righteous act. Well, I did something that was, you know, morally good, so it was righteous thing that I did. But you see, that's not how the church uses that word righteous. In its simplest form, it means to be made right with God. And that happens through Jesus. God's one and only Son comes to be one of us, taking on our human nature, living the perfect life that we could not live, and in his perfect keeping of the law, he allows himself to be crucified. He allows himself to be sacrificed for our sins. And his death covers all of our sins, even the sins of doubting our Lord. Those sins are forgiven, making us right with God, making us righteous. And it's the exact same righteousness that Abraham received in our text today. Exactly the same. But you're probably thinking, wait a second, Jesus is centuries away from ever coming. How is it the same? Because Abraham believed in the promise of God. And those promises included the coming of a Savior, the coming of the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. So we see that the gospel message is held within the promise of a great nation to Abraham. Thus, he is credited as righteous. Credited means someone else giving you something that you do not have and will never be able to get on your own. The entire mortgage industry in our nation is built on this very fact. Most Americans do not have hundreds of thousands of dollars laying around to buy a house. Well, in the same case here, it is God who applies the benefits of his son's sacrifice to Abraham. Abraham receives the good gifts of the cross, even though it had not happened yet. So as we look at Abraham and everything that has taken place in his life, his belief, his righteousness, this credited to him, God is the acting agent in all of it. Nothing happens to Abraham without our Lord acting toward him. In the same way, we're all like Abraham. Complete helplessness and total weakness in dependence on the Lord. But because he has come to us, he's come to us through his word, through his son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we too believe. And the Lord credits it to us as righteousness. So in the end, was Abraham a great figure of faith in the Old Testament? Well, yeah, he was. But only because God gave it to him. Thanks be to God that our Lord has given us that same faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen.